Hey everyone, welcome to today's podcast. I'm Li Xia, and I'm super excited to be here with my colleague and friend, Nuran.
Hi Xia, hi everyone, welcome. I'm really glad to be here too.
So, today we are diving into how cultural norms shape research environments. We kind of mashed together what we learned in the cultural sensibility in research course at Swiss TPH in Basel with our own stories. So expect a mix of theory and some real life stuff. Sound good?
Totally. But before we jump into all that, I think it makes sense to introduce ourselves a bit. Otherwise, it's like, who are these people talking, right?
Exactly. Listeners need to know why we even care about this. Nuran, do you want to go first?
Sure. So I am Nuran Haydar Çelik. I'm from Turkey. I studied law there, completed my master's and PhD, got my lawyer's license, and worked as an assistant at several universities. Now, I've been at the University of Basel for about a year, working as a research assistant and starting my second doctorate. My academic journey hasn't been a straight path. It's been full of ups and downs, with both failures and successes, and plenty of good and bad decisions along the way. But every experience has taught me something valuable. Okay, that's enough about me. Over to you, Xia.
No problem. Hi, everyone. My name is Li Xia, and I come from China. I finished my bachelor and master in Beijing and moved to Basel to do my PhD program in international trade law. I've been currently receiving Stellar Grant from the law faculty, and this is my second semester here. I think, as a Chinese and a Turk working here in Switzerland, we're in a pretty unique spot to notice cultural clashes at work, especially in academia, either in daily communication or in working environment, and to figure out how to handle them, don't you think?
Absolutely. Actually, for weeks, we have been relating the theoretical knowledge from the cultural sensibility in research course to our own lives. As individuals working in an international environment, I really think the real-life examples we will share fit perfectly with the topic. But what exactly is our topic? Would you like to see a few words about it?
Sure. Today, we want to briefly touch on what cultural sensibility actually is, what it means to be culturally sensible as an individual. We will discuss what happens when people from different cultures come together in the same academic environment, how understanding other cultures can help overcome potential conflicts, and how working in a multicultural setting can make us more sensitive and aware in our interactions. Nuran, how would you define the term cultural sensibility?
Oh, that's a tough one. Basically, a cultural sensibility means being able to notice, understand and respect differences in how people from different cultures think, believe, behave, and communicate. It's more than just being aware of other cultures. It's about adjusting your own behavior in a thoughtful way so you can interact with people from different backgrounds respectfully and effectively.
So, could we put it in short as awareness plus empathy plus adaptability in intercultural interactions?
Yes, we absolutely could. Culture affects everything, of course, from hierarchical balances in academia to relationships with colleagues, research ethics, even down to conferences, lectures, faculty meetings, and citation systems. You could say that wherever there are people, there is culture. That said, we should also note that we won't be able to cover all these topics in detail today.
At the same time, we want to point out that we cannot define any culture in a limited or absolute way. So we are consciously avoiding statements such as this is how Turkish culture works, or this is how things run in Switzerland, or these rules apply in China. We are speaking only from our own experiences. That means we are focusing on the University of Basel, where we currently work and study, and on the institutions we studied and worked at in our home countries. Academic relationships can vary a lot, from university to university, depending on the city, the size and the density of the institution, and perhaps most of all, the personalities of our bosses or supervisors.
Indeed, the professors' personalities are the most decisive factor. Moreover, the patterns we have noticed are mostly specific to the Basel area. particularly among researchers from France, Germany, Italy, and a few other countries. We are not suggesting this applies to other nations or regions. Our focus is really on this particular group.
Yeah, good point. So here is our little disclaimer. We are only sharing how Turkish and Chinese cultures and Swiss culture, particularly in Basel area, shaped our personal academic journeys. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, nothing more, nothing less here. All right, shall we get started with today's topic then?
No problem. I think that's enough warm up. Let's begin, Ron. I'm really curious. What cultural differences did you notice when you first started studying and working in Switzerland? Can you give me just an example, something that really stood out to you when you first started here?
At the very beginning, yes. Right when we were introducing ourselves, I must share this, the whole hugging thing.
The hugging thing? You mean how people embrace others?
Totally. When you meet someone new in a professional setting, yes, you should say shake hands. That's normal. But in Turkey, if the person is a friend or someone you are close to or a friend to be, hugging is very common. Even in academic workplaces. Not like hugging your roommate every morning, of course. But for example, when my roommate or colleague came back from vacation or we ran into each other on the train or when saying goodbye, hugging happens. I even hugged all my professors individually after my doctoral defense. I think here in Switzerland, it's pretty rare.
Yeah, I totally get that. I would say the Chinese and Swiss cultures are pretty similar in this regard. Back in China, we do not really hug each other often either. Never did it with professors or colleagues, only with close friends. And here in Switzerland, I think people need to get really comfortable with you before they will hug you. It's not just any friend. It has to be someone really close, right?
Yeah. Maybe it's because personal space is considered a bit more important in these cultures. What do you think? It's not about being unfriendly. Perhaps people just don't want to force it on others.
Exactly. I noticed that personal space is more important here too. I think when we want to hug someone and they only shake our hand, we shouldn't take it personally. That's where cultural sensibility begins. Respecting their personal space, our ways of showing closeness do not have to be the same.
Of course they don't. But this does not make me a bit hesitant sometimes. For example, when we first met, before our first meeting, I wanted to hug you. But I didn't want to push you, so I held back. Then you went ahead and I was happy. In general, I don't try to hug my Swiss friends. I don't want to make them do something they are not comfortable with. That's why I am cautious, even though maybe it wouldn't be a problem for them at all.
Being careful is always a good idea. I completely agree with you on that. That actually reminded me of an example Irene shared in our cultural sensibility class. Hey, Nuran, do you also remember? Irene talked about an international meeting where Latin participants were chatting non-stop, while Indians stayed very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, the Indian members felt that they were not being given a chance to speak, while the Latinos expected interruptions and wondered why the Indians were not eager to contribute at all.
Oh yes, that really was a great example. Here you can see how different cultures influence meeting styles and work ethics, can't you? Maybe we just must accept that there are so many different expectations and ways of doing things, and most importantly, different definitions of respect around the world.
Absolutely. I could not agree more. So, shall we continue with some examples about our relationships with our supervisors? Tell me, Nuran, what's a relationship like between a PhD student and a supervisor, or an assistant and a professor in Turkey? And when you came here, did you notice any differences in that dynamic?
Oh, my answer to this question is a big yes.
Is that so? Tell me, I'm being nosy right now.
Yeah, I mean, of course, we have to admit that there is a global academic culture. There's a respectful attitude toward professors, and there should be. But in some cultures, hierarchy is much stronger, while in others, transitions can be smoother. What do you think? How is it in China?
Yeah, I would say the hierarchy in China is stronger compared to here. There's a Chinese saying, 一日为师，终身为父, which translates to a teacher for life is a father for life in English. Personally, I find this saying interesting because it highlights how Chinese culture values the dignity and seriousness of being a teacher. So in most cases, teachers are to be respected and obeyed.
Wow, I've never heard that before. And by the way, the Chinese saying sounds really nice. You know what? There's a very similar expression in Turkish too. When parents used to send their little kids to learn a craft from a master, they will say, "Eti senin, kemiği benim," which means the flesh is yours, the bones are mine.
Wow, that's quite harsh.
Yeah, that's true. But nowadays it's quite different. Over time, the importance of hierarchy has decreased, don't you think?
Definitely. One interesting fact that I've personally noticed is that after senior high, the relationship between professors and students in academia has gradually become more equal, with a stronger focus on dialogue and exchange. During my undergraduate and my master's studies, most of the professors I encountered were very open to engaging in equal conversations with students and listening to their opinions, which in turn helped improve their teaching methods. Many of my professors fostered relationships where they were not just teachers, but also friends, something that I truly appreciate. What about Turkey? How's it like there?
Of course, the communication between students and professors has changed a lot compared to the past, also in Turkey. Hierarchy is no longer the main factor, but I can't really say the same for the relationship between professors and their assistants. When the professor is also the boss, things get a bit different there. As assistants, we would go to our professor's office every morning and give them a brief update.
Oh, really? Every morning?
Yeah, I mean, this rule isn't written anywhere as such, but it's just a custom. Everyone does it.
Oh, okay. Now I'm curious. What do you tell them when you go? What happens if you don't?
We usually tell them what we did yesterday, what we plan to do today, if they want us to do anything, or which task they expect us to prioritize. Of course, nothing serious happens if you don't go. You won't get fired. But the professor might think you weren't at the university, or that you are upset with them, or even that you are being arrogant.
Wow, such discipline. But things are different here, aren't they?
Of course. Here, there isn't such an expectation. In fact, it's quite the opposite. At first, I was hesitant to knock on the professor's door since their office is closed and they are always at their computer working. I wondered if I would disturb them. Mm-hmm. I thought you had to make an appointment for each time you entered their office. I believed everybody does that.
Well, I must be honest, I'm not like that.
And you don't need to be. That's not really the case. We can just stop by to say hi or ask a quick question. Of course, if it's a longer discussion, then yes, making an appointment is definitely the better option.
The culture was really different, right?
Absolutely. In my first weeks here, I came to the university every day and saw the professors liaison. And even though I really wanted to, I wasn't stopping by their office.
Why not?
As said, I was afraid of disturbing them and believed I needed an appointment. But it turns out that my professor appreciates it when we stop by. I think this is one of two ways cultural differences have affected my life. Experiencing this hesitation. You overthink and overthink to be respectful and not doing something wrong, but sometimes you skip doing something right that the other person would actually have appreciated.
Oh, hesitation is the worst. So you learn from the experience, right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it went.
Great. So we've talked a lot about differences we've noticed in daily communication and the hierarchy between professors and students here. But what about other students come from different cultural backgrounds and come into Basel to study or work? Based on our experiences and observations, do we have any tips or suggestions for them?
Yeah, I think the first suggestion would be to observe the local norms. Stay curious and be sensitive to the differences you will encounter in your daily life. Try to understand the logic behind these differences and adapt as you go. After all, you are living in this place, so it helps you to embrace the local way of doing things.
Yeah, I also want to add something here. It's really important to ask respectful questions. There would always be times when we didn't understand why someone said something or did something. And it's totally okay to ask questions, but always in a respectful way. It can also help to clarify expectations up front. Clear communication always makes things smoother.
That's a great point. That's right. Communication is key. Open, clear, and respectful communication. Ask openly about anything you don't understand. Learn the customs by asking your coworkers, consult on which behavior might be too much or which is considered acceptable, and so on. And another important point, don't take it personally.
Oh, yes. If someone didn't ask for your opinion or criticize you very directly, don't take it personally. Almost all expectations or reactions have a cultural explanation. We just need to learn them by communication.
Totally. Ask, talk, ask again, try to clarify. These will be our humble pieces of advice, right?
Yes. Do not hesitate to clarify. But hey, so far, we've mainly focused on suggestions for individuals. But institutions play a huge role in this too, right?
Definitely. I think for institutions, providing intercultural communication training is important and helpful. That's something we gained from this cultural sensibility in the research course, right? It's what triggered us to start questioning ourselves and really observing and understanding the different backgrounds of those around us.
Yes. And another thing that the institution or its chair can do is to promote diversity and inclusion in research teams. I think this helps you to understand the people in your research team and build a more constructive work environment.
Let's hope that.
So, Nuran, we've covered a lot today, from cultural differences in everyday interactions to the role of hierarchies in academia. Mm-hmm. It's been amazing to reflect on our own experiences and how cultural sensibility plays such a big part in shaping our academic journeys. I think it's also important to note that these cultural differences do not necessarily mean one culture is right and the other is wrong. They just represent how diverse the academic world can be.
Absolutely. But more than anything, what really stands out to me is how important cultural awareness is in creating inclusive research environments. Whether it's understanding the communication style of a colleague or recognizing the subtle expectations in academic relationships, awareness truly is the first step in building bridges across cultures, right?
Totally. And I think it's not just about awareness. It's also about being adaptable and empathetic. In an intercultural academic environment, we cannot always rely on what's familiar to us. Instead, we need to be open to learning new ways of collaborating and interacting. The beauty of working across cultures is the opportunity to grow both personally and professionally by embracing new perspectives and finding common ground.
Well said, Xia. I couldn't agree more. It's about making an effort to understand and adapt rather than just assuming our way is the only way. And in that process, empathy plays such a key role. It's about putting we in others' shoes and seeing things from their perspective.
Exactly. And that's what makes academic collaboration so exciting and enriching. It's a diversity of thoughts, approach, and experiences that push us to think deeper, challenge assumptions, and innovate. That's why fostering cultural sensibility in research is not just important, it's essential for any academic environment that strives to be truly inclusive and collaborative.
Yeah, couldn't have put it better myself. So, Chia, looks like we are reaching the end of our podcast, right?
Yeah, sadly.
But hey, thank you so much for sharing your insights today.
My pleasure, Nuran. I love chatting with you about this. And thanks to all of you out there listening.
Hey, dear listeners, thank you for being here today.
We hope our conversation has sparked some reflections on how cultural sensibility impacts your own academic experiences. See you next time.
Bye.